Well, in this part of Focus 580, we'll be having the first of what we expect to be a number of shows talking about energy. And we thought one good place to start might be in talking a little bit about coal here in the state of Illinois. Now, the Bush administration, of course, has just recently put out its plan for increased production of energy in this country, and coal is a part of that. And here in Illinois, not just recently, but now going back some months, people involved in the industry and also in government have been talking about what might be done in this state to increase production of coal and consumption of coal. So we thought it'd be a good opportunity to start off and talk a little bit about the industry nationally here and in this state. And we'll be doing that this morning, and we have several guests. Joining us by telephone is Taylor Pensnell. He's president of the Illinois Coal Association. Also, we have a couple of other guests here with me in the studio, and it's kind of a surprise. We weren't expecting them, but we thought, well, that's fine. We'll just bring them in here and sit them down here in the microphones, and they'll join in the conversation. Mike Murphy, who is chief of the Illinois Office of Coal Development, right? And Roger Dennison, who is chairman of the Illinois Coal Association. So does Taylor work for you, or do you work for him?
I work for Taylor. Oh.
Okay. And joining us here on the telephone, Mr. Pensnell. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks, all of you, very much.
Thank you for having us.
Let me also tell people who are listening, as usual, of course, questions are welcome. If people that want to call in, ask questions, that's fine. The number 333-WILL or 9455. Same either way. That's for Champaign Urbana, folks. We do also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us around the state of Illinois or Indiana or anyplace else. You want to call, use the toll-free line, 800-222-9455. Well, I tell you where I'd like to start, and all of you might want to talk a little bit about this. I have been looking at some articles about summarizing the Bush administration's energy proposals, and I haven't had a chance to look at the whole thing because they got a 170-page report. So what I've just been seeing is stories about it, and there are certainly references to coal, but they seem to be fleeting references. And I guess I'm interested in, maybe I'll start with Mr. Pensnell, and then here the guests in the studio could comment if they like. From your understanding, what you've been able to see of what the administration has talked about, what sort of role nationally, I guess, do you think there is for coal as part of the national energy mix?
Well, it's a good way to start, David. First of all, the president's proposed energy plan provides, as I understand it, for the expenditure of $2 billion over the next 10 years to both subsidize and underwrite the development of coal technology, clean coal burning technology, I should say. And this is a significant development because I think everybody will agree that the future of coal usage is tied to the installation and operation of technology like scrubbers and low-emission boiler systems and things like that. There's wide agreement among everybody involved that in order to meet the various federal and state air quality requirements, which are going to be a necessity for broader coal use, we've got to go the technology route. So that is important because it... It signals that the Bush administration is on board with the direction we have to go. You know, his plan is also significant in itself. It gives us a psychological boost in the coal industry because at least it acknowledges that there is a future role and a major future role for coal in meeting the nation's energy needs. And this is a sharp departure from the past 8 years under the Clinton-Gore administration, when coal became a virtual non-entity, and there was no question that administration was trying to certainly not include us or write us out of any future energy plans. So we're already ahead with the Bush plan, David, by virtue of the fact that they foresee a significant role for coal, and furthermore, there are some specific provisions in it that seem to support that role.
Well, let me maybe ask a little bit different question. The guest here in the studio is: does now coal benefit from the fact that other sources of energy, particularly recently natural gas, have become so expensive?
Yeah, that Roger Dennison, besides being chairman of the Illinois Coal Association, I'm president and general manager of Tourist Coal in Elkhart, about in the middle of the state. So we've kind of sat and watched this thing as the folks stuck between, where policy was going and coal and clean air regulations. And, you know, we've seen 60% of the jobs go away in Illinois and 22 million tons of coal come from the western states that we could be mining here. So what we have seen definitely is where what we've watched the last decade was deregulation was a concern of the utilities to have to deal with. You know, if I wasn't sure you were going to be my customer tomorrow to put the capital in coal. And also environmental regulations. Where are they going to settle out? So we saw there's no plants been built in the last decade. We really built in the 70s and the 80s when the coal was booming. What we've seen happen in the last decade is the reliance on natural gas. You know, 56% of all electricity is generated by coal right now. And what we've seen now is these folks now are building the gas units. And definitely that's why we've seen the prices go up, and it's got a huge impact. So naturally, we are seeing coal prices now go up, and a lot of the we're going to prove at Elkhart that you can burn the coal cleanly. The technology's there with a low-emissions boiler system. So we're definitely seeing, I think, coal coming back, and we finally, I think, come to the point where folks have seen the energy capacity's not out there. We've got to do something nationally, and Illinois is taking a big step, too. So we're starting to see, I think we've been to the bottom of this of the coal industry, and we're seeing it now, a resurgence coming back in a real positive direction.
Yeah. Let me just I'm actually real pleased that you're here because it'll give me the opportunity to ask a couple questions about somebody who's in the coal business. And one of the things that I was really struck by in doing a little bit of reading to try to prepare for the program was the price. Recently, there was a spike up in the price, and now it's something. It was what about $50 a ton, and before that, it was in the $20-$30 range a ton.
You've seen some spot market. The Illinois coal prices have been around the $20. You have seen some spot prices pick up here in Illinois. The most of it, I would say, if you looked at what coal is selling for today in the spots, about $26. Mm-hmm. Now, out in the eastern states, you've seen $60 coal. You've seen the western coals that used to sell $4 or $5 a ton are now at $14, $15. So across the nation, you're definitely seeing coal prices go up.
Okay, fairly. Well, I guess that my question was how do you make money selling something at $26 a ton? That just seems to me. I just don't know how you do
it. It's not easy. When we opened the coal mine in Elkhart in '82, coal prices were $40 a ton. If you think about the '70s and the last time we didn't have a balanced energy policy. Coal was going to be the future because of oil embargoes and everything. We grew out of that. Now, coal I've got at home was supposed to be selling in the year 2000 for $100 a ton. And we were selling it to our CWLP in Springfield for about $20.50. So they missed it by a little bit. But naturally, you've had to be the lean and mean organization to survive this. It's really been tough on the industry. A lot of towns in southern Illinois have just went away. It's been devastating on the economy.
Well, I want to ask one further question here. If you look at the cost of getting the coal out of the ground, to forget shipping, all you're doing, if you're going to pull it out of the ground, out of the mine, and just pile it there on the ground, how much per ton does it cost just to get it out of the ground so that then you could go from there to ship it someplace?
Evidently under $20 if you're selling it for that. I'd have to kill you if I told you everything.
I didn't realize that it was such high-level secrecy.
Pretty competitive business.
I guess. Let me go around here. Let me just introduce everybody again. Joining us on the telephone is Taylor Pensino. He's president of the Illinois Coal Association. Here in the studio, Roger Dennison, who is chairman of the Coal Association and is also president general manager of Tourist Coal Company. And also here, Mike Murphy. He's chief of the Illinois Office of Coal Development. And we're talking a little bit about coal and its potential here in Illinois. And questions welcome, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. I got a caller here, and I want to get to this person. I promise I won't make him wait forever. But I want to here bring Mike Murphy into the conversation. Maybe I'll ask this question, and anybody else can get in on it too. It's my understanding that here in the state of Illinois, we've spent more money on coal research than in any other state. Is that
right? That's correct. Part of the program that my office runs is and has been an ongoing research and development program where we take projects from the laboratory to a bench scale and then to a demonstration scale, which is Actually, and why we're so excited about it, the low-emission boiler system plant at Elkhart at Rogers Mine, the Corn Belt Electric of the Bloomington area is going to construct beginning this fall, is something that started in a lab in Illinois and is a technology that could be it's pretty widely used in Europe. It's very low emission. It's higher efficiency than your conventional, even your conventional clean coal technologies. And it's something that people are going to be coming from all over the country to see demonstrated. And on the scale of about 80 megawatts, I mean, Corn Belt's going to serve a lot of their customers with that plant, with that technology.
So you would say for the now tens of millions of dollars that we've spent, we've actually got something to show for it?
I'd say that we're going to see in the next few years the payout on that. There's been a lot of research done and not much become of it up till now, primarily because the marketplace was not where it is today, primarily because natural gas prices were artificially low, and because the technology was making its way from one scale to the next. Anyone that tells you that coal can't be burned cleanly today just doesn't know the science. Mm-hmm. It's out there, and that's why people are talking about it again.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got a caller here who've been patient, and I want to bring them in here. And Mr. Pensonov, you want to jump in at any point, you feel free.
Will do, David.
Okay. Let's go to a caller here. This is Belgium, line number 4. Hello.
Hello. Calling from Belgium here, which is in Vermilion County, which the city was named after the country the miners came from, as you all may know that. So we are definitely in a coal area here in Vermilion County, and we are also one of the areas where they're trying to open up a new mine in southern Vermilion County. And I personally have history of coal mining in Vermilion in Fulton County, another area where there's been a lot of coal mining. And the topic I want to get to is that, yes, you're working very hard on cleaning up the emissions from the burning aspect of coal, but the true expense at some point in coal mining is the extraction, and there is a great deal of expense and cost to the environment of removal of the coal. That area should be addressed also. And as far as Mr. Inge's question is about how much you get paid for a ton of coal, he also doesn't realize that a little bit of coal weighs a whole lot, and there's a lot of coal under the ground in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I know. I keep reading these figures that say there's a 250-year supply. I'm not exactly sure how you calculate that. But, that caller raises a good question. I don't know, Mr. Pensonov, you want to talk about environmental impact of mining?
If I understand the question, he indicated the impact of extraction on the environment. That is very closely regulated by the state of Illinois. The Office of Mines and Minerals, which is part of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, closely regulates every inch of Illinois that is disturbed or affected by coal mining. In fact, you can't even turn over 1 foot of dirt for any kind of coal mine development in Illinois, whether it's underground or surface, unless you've got permits that cover every aspect of what you're doing from the Illinois Department of Mines and Minerals. I've often said that we've had a lot of problems through my years with the coal industry and dealing with big challenges, mainly air quality issues and land reclamation. But I've also said that in terms of land reclamation, the Illinois coal industry has really come a long way. I mean, I think most experts would agree that in terms of land reclamation, if that's what the caller is asking about, that Illinois, we're in good shape on land reclamation in Illinois, both mainly from a combination of what we do now in modern Illinois coal mining. As I said, we're closely regulated in terms of land reclamation, and in terms of old workings from mines abandoned back from the World War I years, the 1920s, most of those have been any scars or any problems remaining from those old workings have been eliminated through the abandoned mine lands reclamation program, which is a federal program, but which is financed in Illinois by a federal fee or tax collected off the coal companies that mine in Illinois. So on land reclamation, I think that we've got a lot of success stories in Illinois. Still some things to be done, but it's certainly not the problem it was as recently as say 20, 25 years ago.
Well, I understand what you're talking about the land reclamation because I live on a piece of property who has been land reclamated.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right that we have worked very hard towards it. But there is that just dangling fear that, you know, a bad spill from a mine can destroy a creek, can destroy watersheds, even though you are highly regulated, and I understand that you are very highly regulated, there's always that fear of just destruction of pristine grounds. And I thank you very much for your time, sirs.
All right, thanks.
Let me add just for the record, sure. I mean, the vast majority of Illinois coal is still mined in deep mines underground, so that there's not the kind of impact, visual impact on the surface that you've seen in Vermilion County and Fulton County. There are some smaller mines that operate as surface mines today. Someone actually told me that after the full reclamation process is underway, that land is sold back into farming or other uses for a higher value than was paid for it. I couldn't verify that, but I've been told that.
Okay. Well, let's talk with someone else. The next person in line is Eureka. Line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
You're talking about, you're talking about two things, that, you know, your research on coal and things like that. Could you just give a thumbnail indication of what clean coal is and what low emission boiler is?
Okay, Mike Murphy, you're on it, or one of you guys want to do
that? Well, I'll start, and then when we talk about the technology of the low emission boiler, I'll let Roger describe what that plant is. What we've been asked to do is to drastically lower the emissions of sulfur dioxide, now nitrous oxide. Next will be mercury and some think SO2 from the combustion of coal. And when you burn coal, or you burn anything actually to make power, you're going to have some emissions. The technologies that have been developed more or less treat the gases or the flue gases that result from this combustion with a variety of agents or byproducts. Limestone in large measure is used to remove sulfur from the post-combustion gases in most of the clean coal processes that are in place today. And believe me, they're in place all over the United States. It hasn't happened in Illinois, but just in Indiana, for example, about 40% of their electric generating capacity is scrubbed.
Yeah.
And so rather than switch to the lower sulfur Western coals, which dealt only with the sulfur issue by some power plants in Illinois, other states have gone that route ahead of Illinois. Nowadays, any new plant that's built that's going to burn coal is going to have to meet what's called new source performance standards, which are the strictest air quality standards anywhere in the United States. So, you know, the newer plants are going to be the clean plants. And if you want to talk about how the technology actually works, Roger.
No, just an overview.
Okay. Yeah. I hope I've answered your question.
Okay, so basically what we're talking about here, I guess there are two, when you're talking about the pollution issue with coal, there are a couple of ways you could go. First, if you're concerned, for example, with sulfur content, what you could do is try to get out of the coal before you burn it. The other thing that you could do, I guess, is you burn it, and then the stuff that come the results of that combustion, then you apply some kind of technology to that to remove the pollutants from that before it goes out. Did it seem that we were talking about the amount of money that we've spent on this kind of research? Did it seem that it made more sense to try to deal with the problem after the combustion than before?
Honestly, as Roger Dennison again, when you look at sulfur in coals, what drives the SO2 emissions naturally. The sulfur in coal, we have a state-of-the-art plant at Elkhart. You can only, when we use the term wash, it's kind of a generic term, but it's a real sophisticated heavy media preparation facility. You can only wash so much of the coal out. With SO2, there are a lot of the industrial customers, ADMs, AE Staley's, folks like that, will use what they call a fluidized bed unit where they can inject limestone in while the coal's burning. Mm-hmm. The big utilities will build what we call scrubbers. They basically have to deue with it when it's coming out as a flue gas. So the technology, there's no way known yet to really take it out of the coal at that type of level before it's burned. So it has to be dealt with. The big volumes at the facility that's using the coal.
And we have projects and programs that have worked on both ends of that, frankly. You know, sulfur's been the disadvantage of Illinois coal.
Right.
Abundance and price has been the advantage. So we've got there's some projects funded through a new quasi-public agency called the Illinois Clean Coal Review Board to work on the cleaning of the coal when it comes out of the ground. As Roger said, you can only get so far with that, and you do need some pretty substantial and not inexpensive technology to deal with it once you get it to the plant.
Yeah. Well, that it seems in the past, Illinois coal had this disadvantage. It's got a lot of sulfur in it, so that means that it's possible that it might be cheaper than a high-sulfur coal, but then you also have to consider the fact that, well, if you're going to burn that coal, you may have to put scrubbers into your plant, you may have to do certain sorts of things, and that adds to the cost. That meant that Illinois coal was at a competitive disadvantage with particularly coals from the West that had less sulfur. Now, though, given the developments in the technology and the overall price of energy, has the price difference now between our coal and their coal, is it less than it was? Is it now sort of a more even proposition which you're going to use?
You need to answer that with technology. When you're looking at it from the utility standpoint, it's an economic decision of what's, because the laws, the Clean Air Act dealt with where you need to be on emissions. Yeah. So from the utility standpoint, we still have to compete with allowances, SO2 allowances, and all of these things, where what we have done successfully at a couple of utilities in Illinois, which I think what you're going to see here within this next decade, too, a lot of movement in incentives to help these folks overcome the capital cost to build the scrubbers. The environmental community wants the scrubbers. We can get Illinois back working. If you can help these utilities to offset some of this capital and build it, that's when you get back to it's more economic to burn Illinois coal.
Yeah.
Because years ago, again, I don't want to keep harping on deregulation, but I've heard it said this is not your father's utility company anymore. This has changed dramatically the last 2 years. Is before I could have spent $50 million on a scrubber, and I knew that I had a customer base to pay for it. And with deregulation now, it's an economic decision. So the technology that we're seeing coming out of Mike's group and even the Department of Energy federally that's working with us on the LEBS power plant at Elkhart, this technology will bring it back to where Illinois coal is the answer.
Let me now go to Taylor Pencil. You're in Springfield, right?
Right.
So is that what it is, essentially, that the legislature is talking about doing?
Well, the legislature, it's a major, coal is turning out to be a centerpiece issue of the current legislative session. I wasn't sure it would be that way when we started, but it's turning out that way. Basically, we've had various competing but also somewhat compatible packages, David, that have been introduced over here by the various caucuses, you know, the House Democrats, the House Republicans, the Senate Republicans, and what have you. And the central focal point of these packages over here have been to provide incentives to bring about the construction of one or more major mine-mouth power complexes, obviously in south central and southern Illinois. And these have all progressed pretty far. There's a lot of agreement on the provisions of the packages, but we've gotten involved in some old-fashioned partisan rivalries that right now have threatened to create, well, right now they have sort of a gridlock that has really kept anything from coming together in one final compromise package. Now, Governor Ryan has stepped into the situation and through a variety of actions to try to break this gridlock, and one is with his own package, which, and Mike Murphy can tell you a little bit more about it, but one which basically would provide, among other things, $3 billion in bonds for coal and energy projects under a new idea, a consolidated Illinois State Finance Authority. It would provide for sales and utility tax exemptions for new power plant construction, which could be started as late as this year. There are property tax breaks in there of up to $4 million over 10 years for new power plants and transmission lines. He has provisions for streamlining all the state permitting process that would allow elimination of a lot of the red tape and sometimes unnecessary delays that crop up in trying to get permits to do these sorts of things. It's what he has done, I think, is drawn the best elements out of the various packages, put them into one, I'll call it a compromise package, and I think the chances are very good that before Friday night we're going to have very serious consideration, hopefully passage of that, of a compromise package, and the governor, of course, will have been the one who stepped in and I would say broke the gridlock. Although, as I said, you know, We've had many well-intentioned legislators this year who have jumped into the coal scene, some who have not been so much involved in recent years. But the intense interest, the heightened new interest, is basically a result of the California power crisis. Nobody wants that to happen here. And then, of course, it's a reaction to the very high-soaring natural gas home heating bills that rank-and-file Illinoisans have experienced over the winter. And, you know, these have really reawakened, I would say, interest in Illinois coal, its great potential, and the fact that it's here, and that we can meet the challenges that revolve around its usage.
So here, and Mike, and I guess my understanding is the idea is we're going to build modern plants to use the newest technology.
That's right.
We want to build them next to the mine so
right.
you don't have the transportation issue to worry about.
That's correct.
And then also we're talking about new sources, energy sources, primarily that I think would benefit the southern part of the state.
Let me just add one thing, and Roger and Mike can join in, but that's true. The way it works, and everybody kind of agrees on this conceptually, the downstate Illinois, especially south central and southern Illinois, regions there want the power plants. They need the economic development. They solicit such things. As I said, they really need the jobs. The economy really needs stimulation in those areas, and so they want the power plants. And of course, they want the new mine developments that would go along with the power plants. Those would go hand in hand, and everybody wins. Now, the part of the package is also would provide for upgraded transmission lines to convey a lot of this increased power production up to the greater Chicago area, where there's a great market, a continually growing market for increased electricity and power. On the other hand, as you know, and your listeners know, a lot of folks up there in Chicago and the suburbs don't want power plants in their backyard. They need the power, but they don't want the plants. So this kind of all fits together, but we need the power plants downstate, and we need the coal mine development, so that's the thinking of behind the plans.
We're a little past the midpoint here, and I want to just go around and introduce everybody again for anybody who's tuned in. Here joining us by telephone from Springfield, Taylor Pensino. He's president of the Illinois Coal Association. Here in the studio with me, Mike Murphy, who's chief of the Illinois Office of Coal Development, and that is within the Department of Commerce and Community Affairs, and Roger Dennison. He's chairman of the Coal Association. He's also president and general manager of Tourist Coal Company, so he's in the business. And we're talking about Illinois coal. We have a couple of folks here who've been patient, and I think we should probably get back here to the phones and try to get them in. We'll go next to Chicago and line two. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I'm from, People's Gas, Light, and Coal Company up here in the olden days. The question I have, I had heard once in Europe, they take from the scrubbers, they would extract the material that wallboard is made out of. Plasterboard, that's gypsum, isn't it? Isn't that
that's correct.
Chemical? Would that be practical in Illinois?
It is to an extent that you have a market for the gypsum. You produce a lot of gypsum from a scrub plant, but yes, that's one of the byproducts that is fairly of a fairly substantial value. There are other byproducts of burning coal. For which we're looking all the time as part of our research and development program for other uses for such things as paving blocks. Well, you can mix the ash, of course, in with paving materials, but I'm talking about actual stopping blocks and things that would be like a concrete block that were actually being marketed to coal mines and are going back underground. So that's also part of the challenges to deal with the byproducts.
Thank you.
All right. And here's somebody on the campus, line number three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I have two questions, if the guests could put some perspective on. First, how much land is being used for coal mining as compared to how much land is being used for growth of subdivisions around cities and towns. The second would be pollution caused by burning coal as compared to pollution caused by automobiles. So if your listeners could add something to those two.
Probably. Okay. I imagine one is probably easier to answer than the other. I don't know. Mr. Pensino, you want to
take the first one because okay. That's the easiest question.
Okay.
Yay.
A relatively very small percentage of land is consumed in Illinois by coal mining, not nearly as much as you might think at first glance. And we've done a lot of analyses of these through the years, and it's a very small percentage. It's like a 0.00001% of 1% of the state's acreage. In addition, most of that acreage, of course, when you talk about land, was a result of surface mining, which is no longer very dominant in Illinois, very prevalent. About 85-88% of the coal now comes from deeper underground mines. Now, I should also point out that in regard to that land affected by mining, the great bulk of it is restored through the reclamation process that I talked about earlier, and the land goes on to become very productive in a variety of uses. It can, if it was agriculture, it usually has to be restored to row crop production standards. Some of it is used, goes into the public domain, becomes part of nature preserves, state parks, things of that nature. Some of the acreage is used for the development of industrial parks, and some, as you said, has been used for subdivisions. Some of the prettiest subdivisions in coal mining regions of Illinois are on reclaimed acreage from places like Fulton County and down in Williamson and Franklin counties. In many cases, not in all cases, but in some cases, it's definitely fair to say that the per acre value of the land is greater after reclamation following coal mining than it was before the land was mined.
Okay. Can one of you guys here make some comparison of the amount of pollution generated by automobiles, compare that with the amount of pollution generated by coal-burning utilities?
I'm not an expert on automobiles, but I can at
you
least
drive a truck.
I do drive a truck, yes. In looking at what folks, I think, first of all, the environmental community needs the same thing that we in the Illinois coal business need. If you'll talk to the folks, SO2 is a huge issue for them, too. So we get scrubbers, you know, we can start working a lot of these things. But in the past decade, you know, U.S. populations tripled. Our emissions have went down a third in that. And then if you just look at the year 2000, they've went down even more with second phase of the Clean Air Act. The numbers that I've used or know of is like 24% of the total NOx emitted comes from the coal, but it will be reduced. It's part of the next package is reduction of nitrous oxides, and it's going to get real low when you look at that. And you hear folks talk about particulate matters. There's less than 1% from power plants. So a lot of these things, again, it's not your grandfather's utility in that anymore, has really been changed and has plans to be reduced even further with enactment of the Clean Air Act. But there's been just huge increases in the need for electricity and huge decreases in the emissions of these plants. And like Mike and Taylor alluded to earlier, any new plants have now new plant standards that are, you know, really low.
I think it's kind of unfortunate that the issue that was raised in that fashion was to say what's the worst polluter, coal or automobiles. I mean, people in this country have certain standards of living that are based on transportation. Maybe they've got some bad habits, you know, maybe we all do. People also have standards of living based on turning on the lights and the computer in the morning. And how we live with those kinds of things, I think, is a challenge to our society in general. And from the standpoint of somebody who's trying to promote coal as an industry, from an economic development standpoint in Illinois, I think that we probably will get farther in the long run, more closely we work with the people whose environmental interests are almost side by side with ours. And, you know, if you got to burn coal cleanly, Illinois coal is back on the table and the playing field's level.
Yeah. Well, now most of the coal produced in this state goes to electric utilities that burn it to generate electricity. Most of that is going outside of the state of Illinois.
Correct.
How much more, well, fact sheet, and this comes from you, from DECA, Illinois utilities now typically use 12 million tons of Illinois coal every year. How much more is possible? How much more Illinois coal could be used to generate power in this state And let's say we're not just talking about existing plants. If we're going to increase that, we're going to have to build some new plants. But how much more do you think that number could go up?
Well, you know, as I said, it was just 10 years ago that we were mining 60 million tons of coal rather than 40 million tons of coal in Illinois. Some of those markets won't come back very quickly. But if we start to turn things around, you know, one large coal-fired clean coal power plant will burn up to 4 million tons of coal by itself. You get a couple of them, 8 million tons, and pretty soon you see. And, you know, the certainly 3,000 megawatts of new power for Illinois is probably, particularly, you know, at the cost it could be produced, probably pretty badly sought after by just about everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're talking, I'd say if we could recoup even half of the lost tonnage with burning coal in Illinois in the midterm, that we'd be pretty successful. Because these plants are very expensive, $1 billion, $2 billion a piece, and we're not going to see 100 of them.
Mm-hmm. We got another caller, someone here on a car phone. We'll get to them around Danville. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on a car phone, and I'm just about losing reception, but I'd like to ask a quick question and then get off.
Sure.
One thing I haven't heard referred to is subsidence problems with deep mining. When they're saying that the land is restored, to what extent can they do anything about the subsidence problem?
Okay.
And well, I'll hang on, go back to radio.
All right, thanks for the question. Maybe we'll go back to Taylor Pensenhall, since you were talking about that sort of that issue before. What about abandoned mine subsidence?
Absolutely. You know, subsidence is generally one of two kinds. Gradual subsidence, which comes from old abandoned mine workings, and that has been a challenge in some areas. Not as much as it was, though. The other kind of subsidence is planned subsidence, which generally is a result of longwall mining, which is prevalent in some parts of Illinois and which most of the coal is removed. And in that case, the company involved reaches agreements with surface owners above the mine before any mining is done as to how the subsidence, first of all, the subsidence there definitely will occur. And in those cases, the companies reach agreements with the surface owners ahead of time on the projected extent of damages, how they will be resolved. Will it be a monetary settlement? Will the damage to a structure be handled by the company involved? And these agreements are administered and overseen by, again, the state, the Office of Mines and Minerals, and it's a process that has worked very well. In terms of modern coal mining, where room and pillar mining is still used, roughly, and Roger can get in on this, but roughly 50% of the coal is removed. But again, the supports now that are used there in the modern type of mining, in modern room and pillar mining, are far more substantial in dealing with subsidence than they were many decades ago. Roger, would you want to add something to this in terms of subsidence, where we're at now in terms of room and pillar mining?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is correct, Taylor. You know, there's just so much change in what is kind of stereotyped as the old coal business. I mean, it's really an engineering feat anymore. You know, we will do pre-mining surveys. We will do strength tests on the bottoms we actually have in the coal mine. We will do the roof test. The pillars are actually designed, because Taylor's correct, we extract about 40% of the coal at Elkhart. Some mines are up to the 50, and that Taylor's talking about, but it's all engineered that the pillars are actually designed for the overburden. Our site specific, I have a non-subsidence permit. I can't subside anything if that would happen on ground I didn't own, or I can't do it anywhere with my permit. I have to put it back in the state that it's in. So a lot of these things from old abandoned ones, maybe years and years ago, have been addressed, you know, in the state and the permitting processes here that I see being, I say a new mine, but we're 20 years old, but we've lived under this umbrella for 20 years. These things are all addressed in the new mines, current mines, but, you know, that's basically where I'm at it. In the Elkhart mine, anyway.
And part of the message we're carrying, it relates to issues like subsidence, like reclamation, like emissions from older coal burning plants versus a new plant. And that we're really talking about what I like to call new coal. This is an energy source for the future. It happens to be the same energy source that was burned and mined in a lot of different fashions in the past. But people whose minds are sort of stuck in what coal has been in the past are really missing the story here. It just so happens, because of its abundance and because it is affordable, that there's a tremendous opportunity for this state to have some energy security that a lot of other states aren't going to have because we have this resource.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask, and again, I'm glad that Roger Dennison is here. We talked about the fact that the industry is now looks like it's poised to rebound after a number of years when things weren't so good. And during that time, a lot of people who worked in mining got out. Mm-hmm. And now that, combined with the fact that I guess younger people aren't all that interested in becoming coal miners, mm-hmm. that the industry nationally is actually facing a shortage of miners. That's true for you?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the company that actually owns Turris is AEI out in Ashland, Kentucky. They're a huge company. I just spoke with them last week. Out east, they could hire 200 people this week, and you cannot find the skilled folks. You can't. There's truly a labor shortage. And in Illinois, one thing that Illinois has done is they've had a process to where folks could get trained at other things if the mining jobs went away. But I do think what you'll see in Illinois is a lot of folks have grown up around it. They're good paying jobs with good benefits. So being a coal miner's not, you know, that kind of the scary thing that maybe it used to be. But definitely what you are seeing out east, and usually what happens is like the coal prices started high out there and started walking back. As far as increases, you're going to see, I think, the labor shortages tie into that also.
So what is the average salary for a coal miner these days?
Oh, I would say I'm just basing, of course, how much overtime do you work and all those things, but I would say you're probably a guy that's worked at a mine 2 or 3 years. It shouldn't be a problem to make $50,000 a year.
It's hard work, though.
Well, and it's also still, isn't it one of the most dangerous, or is it still the most dangerous occupation?
That's kind of the stereotype, too. When you look at our mine, we have had no accidents the whole first quarter this year, perfect safety, no anything. That's because Mine Safety and Health Administration that oversees the coal mines, and Illinois has the state division that looks over the mines. I mean, the laws have all changed. It's not the old coal mine that we all see on TV and that.
I'm going to try to get one more.
Go ahead. That Illinois has one of the top safety records in coal mining in the country. We just finished a couple years ago. We had a 2-year period without one fatality, and that was some sort of a record in American coal mining. We're very proud of our safety record in Illinois coal mining.
I want to try and get one more caller here. Chicago, line 4. Hello.
Hi. I may have missed something. Are you saying that in your scrubbing of the emissions from the burning of coal that you scrub out CO2 and you trap it entirely, that CO2 does not escape at all into the air?
No, we've talked about SO2, sulfur dioxide.
Well, CO2 is very important, and this is a contributor to the global warming, and global warming is a clear and present danger to the entire human population. And anything that doesn't take care of that is dodging the question of the whole coal burning, carbon burning industry.
Yeah. Comments?
Yeah, I guess what I'll say on that is where we're at with the industry. There's really three emissions that really have been focused on the past 20 years. CO2 is definitely one that's kicked around in Washington. You know, right now I don't know where it's going to end up. It's definitely something that's out in the forefront, but it will have to be a federal, decision of what to do for these plants, because I don't, at this point in time, the question is how much comes from coal burning in cars and all these things. So there's different schools of thought and with the whole CO2 thing, but it's definitely something that's out there in front of everybody as potentially one of the next things to address. But as far as I know right now, Mike, maybe you can, Taylor can help.
Well, I've been to some clean coal technology conferences where carbon dioxide is the challenge of the future.
It's the challenge of the present.
And we, well, the science, you know, no one has shown me the science that that can be applied to combustion that will deal with the CO2 problem in any serious fashion. And I'm not sure that the coal industry is the only place that needs to be addressed. What I was trying to say is that you know, the research community is clearly focused on carbon dioxide, and it's a priority.
We're, I think, at the point we're going to have to stop, and with the promise that I'm sure a lot of these issues we'll take up again on future programs. But I want to go around and thank all of our various guests here by telephone from Springfield. Taylor Pensinel, president of the Illinois Coal Association.
Thank you, David.
Thank you very much. Here in the studio, Mike Murphy. He's chief of the Illinois Office of Coal Development. That's part of the Department of Commerce and Community Affairs. Thank you. And Roger Dennison, chairman of the Illinois Coal Association, president, general manager, Tourist Coal Company. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Very much.